We're backstage with Yannick Nezet-Séguin. Welcome back to Philadelphia.
Thank you, Susan.
This is a very interesting program. Could you talk about the pairing of Bach and Bruckner?
It's always difficult to find the good pairing for a Bruckner symphony. Because it's long, it's big, and you nevertheless need something as an appetizer for it, but it can't be anything. One regular choice is to go with a Mozart piano concerto because of the purity, and it's not too heavy before it. And similarly, I think Bach is especially good because Bruckner always looks back to the masters of counterpoint, and therefore the Baroque masters. He is, in his own right, being an organist, originally Bruckner. He writes a lot of fugues and a lot of really constructed music the way Baroque music was. And therefore, Bach seems like reminding us the origin, and then Bruckner feels like the what's really naturally and organically coming from it, of course, many decades later. And this special concerto in E major we just played, I especially liked it because of the reflexive quality of the second movement, but also the way David Kim played it. And for me, it's the first time I collaborate with David Kim as a soloist on subscription, because David and I did concertos in Saratoga, in Vail, also in Korea, in Seoul, but never on subscription. So that's always a special treat.
That's great. Well, we're about to hear Bruckner's Eighth Symphony, which has special resonance for you.
Well, the Eighth Symphony is the most complete of Bruckner. It's the last one that he completed, of course, but also just the architecture is so long and vast, but it's so well controlled. It's the most perfect creation, I think, of Bruckner. And that symphony, as always, had special connection with my own heart. I started conducting it many years ago. My first time was in Mexico City, I remember, where our second clarinet, Socrates Villegas, used to play. But he wasn't there when I did my Bruckner symphony. But it's just, you know, how the world is small in a way.
Yes.
And Bruckner in general is, as everybody knows, I think now in Philadelphia, is a special composer to me, just because people might like to know a little anecdote that when I was 14, 15 years old, I bought a recording of the Fourth Symphony by a very famous conductor and a very famous orchestra, and I won't name them, and it's not Philadelphia, don't worry. But I hated it. I really couldn't stand, I didn't understand it. And I went to my piano teacher and said, I just listened to a Bruckner symphony. I cannot like this music. And she looked at me with a little smile and said, well, give it another few years. I tried again live at age 17. And it was Skovachevsky conducting the Ninth in Montreal. And I just fell in love. And when I first conducted my Bruckner symphony, I felt, as I've said before, that I had conducted this in another life. And it's the only composer it makes me feel this way. So, yes, it's very close to my heart. I don't know exactly why to this day. Maybe it's the choral roots. Maybe it's the Catholic roots. Who knows? But I'm just very happy to be able to deepen my relationship with the composer with the sound of my musicians here in Philadelphia, who can always bring a different color and different touch to everything they play.
Do you have any suggestions for how to listen to this symphony?
First, we need to take a deep breath. Accept that the space and time are different. That it's not about the micro event. It's about the grand line. It's about entering a vast church or visiting the canyon or visiting in awe in front of a really tall mountain. And just breathe in, breathe out, look around, close our eyes, and feel the connection of that music to really the harmony of the universe. Not even only the earth, the universe. And I think we need this in our world, which is so fast-paced.
Great. Thank you so much. We look forward to it. Yannick Nezet-Séguin.
Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.